Morning, church. How is everyone? Good. I'm Pastor Nami, for anyone who may not know me, and welcome to our online listeners. You know, just listening to Pastor Stephen share about Robert, one thing that stood out to me in the conversation was him holding his phone and showing us his text messages from Pastor Charlie. And, you know, he was just so excited to tell us about, you know, what they were talking about. And he talked about, you know, the jacket that you bought for him and, you know, how you thought he was a funny man. And it was just really lovely to watch. And that's one of the things that I really love about, you know, connection with people, is that you get to hear what's happening in people's lives, but you also get to see how much people love God and love God's people and go out of their way. And that's one thing that's in the DNA of this church that we're very grateful for, is that the people in this church are sacrificial. They go out of their way. You know, I've been sick for about a week and a half, and Pastor Helen, even though she was unwell herself, you know, she came over, she brought some meals, she brought some snacks, which the kids finished just like that, you know. But it's really, really lovely. The people of this church are givers, you know, and so we're very grateful for that. So I'll get started. We can put up the slide. Is it up there? Oh, there it is. Okay, so I went to Woolies the other day to get a $4 bottle of coffee, decaf. Because while I was driving, I got this image of decaf because I thought, it's been a while since we've had one of those. So I go to Woolies, meant to spend $4, came out after spending $23. Now, how did that happen? So up there, we've got the Tim Tams. The reason I bought the Tim Tams was because it was raining. And I thought, I got this image of myself sitting around the table with the kids, having cups of coffee, or tea, Tim Tams. But I had to go for the double chocolate, because I thought, you know what, it's sweet. If it's double, that means it's sweeter. You know, that would just be so great with the family. So I bought those. The peppermint chocolate, I thought, you know what, one of my daughters really likes anything mint. So I'll go for that one. She'll be very happy to know I was thinking of her. So I bought that. But I had to go for the big block, because I thought, you know what? Why buy the small one? You know, exactly. Thank you. This is a family, so buy for the family. Then the wraps. I thought, you know what? We've been eating corn chips and mints, corn chips and mints, corn chips. I said, the kids would really love to have something different. It's been a while since we've had wraps. So then I bought the wraps. The coffee, that's not the $4 bottle of coffee. That's the $11 one. Now, that one I bought because I thought, you know what? In 2012, when my aunt was here from Botswana with my mom and my other aunt, she really loved that brand of coffee. So I'm going to buy that. So that was really, really interesting. But before I did all of that, I had dropped my two youngest at home. And before I dropped them off, I went past McDonald's, because my now four-year-old was crying. And I just couldn't handle the tears. I was tired. I was just not in the space to be very firm. I tried, but I was like, you know what? I'll get her the McDonald's. So I got her that. But before I dropped her off home, I had to pick up her older sister. And then I thought to myself, she's going to get in the car. She's going to smell the McDonald's. So I might as well buy the second packet of McDonald's, right? That's how it went. So where did all this reflection come from? We are starting a series on money. Now, some people love talking about money. Some people hate it. They avoid it like the plague. But we're starting this series on money. It's based on the book by Pastor Tommy Brown, The Seven Money Types. And we're talking about our money type, my money type, how God wired me to handle money. So I started reading this book. Why Why are we doing all of this? Before I talk about the book, Pastor Tommy Brown summarized it really well. He said this: if we're seeking authentic financial well-being, which I believe we are as a church, as families, we'll have to look within ourselves. We'll need to look to God. We must do more than balance our budgets, increase our savings account, and invest in the future. We must do more than that. We'll need to cease striving for what we do not have and reach deeper into who we are. We'll need to increase awareness of how and why we and others think, feel, and act the ways we do financially. Financial well-being is not based in amounts, how much or little we have, but rather in understanding and embracing how we relate to money. Otherwise, we can have immense wealth and never enjoy it. And I thought that was really good. So I started reading this book in preparation for the message, and it was a terrible experience. I was highly frustrated reading this book because it just seemed so deep and complicated. I was confused. I was overwhelmed. You know, I just wasn't getting it. I wasn't seeing myself in it until I took the test. There's a test. There's a quiz, and I would encourage every single one of you to do. And this test tells you what your money type is. You know, obviously, there's different, I'll talk about the types, but there'll be two of your top types, and then there'll be a few that are really low. So I had two that stood out. I'll tell you more about them in a minute. But something else that was unexpected happened as I read this book, and that's a feeling that I went through an accelerated therapy session. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like you're reading a book or you're watching a movie and you feel like you're having a therapy session with God? That's what it felt like for me. So the key ideas about this book is this: that we are designed to relate to resources, in this case money, in a distinct way, and that our souls tend to gravitate towards one of seven types. And some people tend to feel guilty about money. Some people tend to feel like they're really good with money. Some feel like they're really bad with money. So this pastor decided that, you know what, from his observations, he needed to write this book. That there is more than one right way of relating to money. We live in a world where we are taught that this is how you're supposed to handle money. But he highlights that how we deal with resources has everything to do with how God created us. So he talks about these distinct character aspects of God's character that are revealed through seven biblical characters. And each type has what they call a shadow side, right? That negative side of us that affects things, you know. So you have the money type, and then you have its shadow type. We'll talk more about that. So the more we recognize the shadow type, which is like the blind spots, right? The parts of ourselves that we're not aware of, the better we're able to keep them from affecting having a healthy relationship with money and, of course, with God. So I'll quickly run through what the seven types are, but I'm going to focus on just one, which was one of my top ones. So God used seven individuals to lead his people back to his ways. The first one was Abraham. And Abraham related to resources. They call it hospitality. So as you read the book, you'll learn a bit more about it. But I'm just going to run through it. Abraham, hospitality was how he connected with resources. Isaac, discipline, very disciplined, counts every dollar. Jacob, beauty. He expressed the beauty of God. And Joseph was all about connection. That's how he used his resources. Moses was about endurance. He was able to kind of hang in there. So some people are very good at hanging in there through trials and tribulations with money, with resources. So Moses displays that. Aaron was humility. Those people who just want to spend money on other people, they're very much about justice. And then David, financial leadership. So like I said, for today, I just want to focus on Jacob. So I took the test, and it showed that I was two. One of the top two was the Jacob type and the David type. And so today I'm going to talk about the Jacob type. And the Jacob type talks about money and beauty. Makes sense. So I see the world, or you, if you're a Jacob type, you see the world in terms of creating beautiful experiences. And then that shadow side, like I said, is overindulgence. So even though you love things, you love to have beautiful experiences and spend your resources that way, the shadow side of it is that you can overdo it. So the basic belief for those who are Jacob types is that resources should be used to create beautiful and pleasurable experiences. So the people who are Jacob types enjoy using money to create those moments. That's how they think. So that example that I gave you at the beginning, I started to reflect on that because every other time I've always looked at how am I spending money? But I've never really looked at why I am spending money that way. What goes on before I spend money? And that's the whole idea. So we're going to read from Genesis 29, verse 16 to 20, just to talk a bit about Jacob and why, you know, he's associated with beauty. It says from verse 16, "Now Laban had two daughters." This was his uncle. "The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, 'I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel.' Laban said, 'It's better that I give her to you than to some other men. Stay here with me.' So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel. But they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her." To cut a long story short, Jacob ended up working 14 years for Rachel. And that's because his uncle tricked him. After working for the one for Rachel, instead of getting her, he said, "Well, you know, in our custom, the younger one can't exactly get married before the older one." So he tricked him and he had to take both sisters, but he had to work another 7 years. But because Jacob was captivated by Rachel, captivated by her beauty, he was willing to invest everything, his resources, his time, to get this one thing. So I want to talk about Jacob types and emotional engagement. You may be sitting here and thinking, you know what, I don't think that's me. I don't think I'm one of those types. That may be correct, but please don't switch off. Because even though you may not be, somebody in your life probably is. Your spouse, your sibling, your child, your parent. So it's important. So emotional engagement. This is what Pastor Tommy says. Because of these emotive and even artistic tendencies, Jacob types occasionally make purchases that are strongly driven by desire rather than rational, calculated thought. They'll use their money in ways that do not make sense to other types. Jacob types tend to live more in the moment. I remember once saying, you know what, life's too short, and then going ahead and buying something. I don't know if you've ever done that. It also says their money and resources follow their passions. So they tend to be very passionate people with emotion driving financial engagement, which is a context for great beauty and also for trouble to ensue. Okay. Oh, no video signal. So we can't get the slides? Okay. I've got the slide up here. So the slide that was going to come up there was the slide that says, 18 today, unleash your inner party animal. So that's the card that I got this week for my son here, because he's 18 today.
Yes.
In Australia, he's considered an adult. But the minute he hops on a plane and lands in Botswana, he's still a child. Because there you have to be 21 to be considered an adult. But for now, for as long as he's on this side, he's an adult. But I chose this card. I wish you could have seen it. It's unfortunate. But it's got all sorts of animals with funny-looking sunglasses with different colors. There's a little birdie there wearing a necklace. There's a monkey or gorilla, whatever it is, wearing a cap and glasses. But when I went in the store to buy the card, that's the first of all the cards. That's what I went for. But it wasn't so much about unleash your inner party animal. It was just the fact that it was just fun. And that's always been me, fun. And the thing with me is I'm very good at planning, creating structures, charts. You ask my husband, lists. But execution is a problem. I can start with full energy and determination. Ah, there it is. Yes, that's the card. Oh, sorry, I forgot to give it to you. It's on the table. Anyway. Execution, that's right. Yes. So I can start with full energy and I'm determined and all of that, but then I get distracted. I lose focus. I mean, I even wondered, do I have ADHD? Like, you know, you get those moments. I realize that, you know, I can be impulsive, easily distracted, because there's this fear of missing out, need to please and really live with a party in my head. You know, they say that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. My father, I didn't grow up with my father, but we lived in the same town. And for many, many years, until recently, until I read this book, my relationship with my father, if you ask me, was reduced to a story of rejection. Because I didn't grow up with him. So all my experiences were about how he was not there. But the thing is this, when I started to think about my father, and this is where the therapy bit comes in, I realized that that's probably where I get the party in my head from, the fun factor. Because you see, my father, he died in, you know, 2001. My father was a larger-than-life type of character. When he came into the room, people got excited. It was like, let the party begin. Do you know some people like that? You think, okay, they've arrived. Let's crank up the music. That was my father. He was the kind of happy-go-lucky character. He loved to have fun. And the thing is this, whenever I would call him, and most of the time it was me calling him, he would say one of two things. One was, I was just thinking of you. And the second was, I was just getting your things ready. I never quite got what the things were, but I figured it was like sweet little, you know, things, whatever, something exciting. Because that's the impression I was left with after he'd say that. Never mind, I never got the stuff. But in the moment, it's like in him, he just wanted to create that excitement. Just like me wanting to just, let me get them the wraps, because it, they've just been having corn chips and mince. They'll be very excited at having wraps for a change. Well, they don't agree. But that was what was in my head, right? So, when I was 8 years old, I went to meet my father's family for the first time. Because I was raised by, you know, my mom's family. And I remember going to his place, tiny little place, and we were in this living room, and there was this coffee table. And we were getting ready to go to his parents' place, which is like, you know, another town about 200 kilometers away. And I can still see it. He just had this plastic bag, and he just threw all the stuff on the table. I'd never seen so many lollies in my life. All types of sweets and knickknacks. And I remember thinking, so this is what being with my father is all about. Sweet things, right? And then when I was 13 years old, now isn't it interesting, 7 years old, and then 13 years old. I don't know anything in between, but I remember these. because they were so significant. When I was 13 years old, I was in high school, and someone came and called me from my classroom to say, there's a man out there looking for you. I think he's your father. And I went over, and of course, it was my father. He had another plastic bag. And in there, there was a box of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I remember, I don't know what else was in there. And then he gave me, let's say, the equivalent of $20. Now, for a 13-year-old back then, that was a lot of money. I'd never held so much money in my life. I felt rich. I felt loved. I felt important. Now, money, food, and the love of a father formed a new relationship in my life. So my relationship with money was condensed to these two very important things, food and money. From a man who was a larger-than-life character who brought fun into the room. So shadow side of the Jacob type, which is what I am, is overindulgence. So even though we just love to have these beautiful experiences and have fun and have a party in our heads, the shadow side, which is the blind spot of all of this, is overindulgence. So use their resources to indulge their desires. They'll get whatever they want whenever they can get it. For me, the overindulgence looked like overcompensating for rejection. So you see what I said? All my life, my connection with my father was always about rejection. But then all of a sudden I realized, oh, he brought this fun aspect. But then you start to overcompensate, right? Why? Because in my head, subconsciously, my children will not feel rejected. My children will not feel pain and unwanted. My children will feel loved and cared for. How am I going to do it? Food. How am I going to do it? Anything that I think is going to make them happy. I want you to think about that for a moment. For yourself, what is that thing that you are doing to overcompensate? Very important question. The problem with the shadow side, or for me in this case, the overindulgence, so overcompensating, is that it causes internal and interpersonal conflict. And that's what Pastor Tommy talks about with shadow sides. They cause internal and interpersonal conflict. So the internal conflict is that you end up with this sense of failure, this feeling of I'm underperforming when it comes to how I use finances. Why? Because for a long time, you know, I was saving. You know those people you save, but your savings never grow? Why? Because when the bills come, you realize, oh yeah, I've got savings. You go and dip into the savings. Now, you can learn how to work with all those things, right? There's financial management. You could say, why not just go to a financial counselor? That's what you could do. But if you are a Jacob type and you're somebody who is all about making life beautiful, the first thing that comes to you is not, oh, I need to do this and do this. You think, okay, party, excitement, fun. It's automatic. Why we're teaching this is so that you can start to ask yourself those questions. Am I like that? Are the people in my life like that? Do I know anyone? If I was to ask you guys right now, do you know anyone like this? I'm sure a few of you will be like, yeah, that's me, or yeah, that's, I know who that is, right? But the whole idea of this book is to make people realize that there's nothing wrong with those people. They're just different. They just need to know that that's who they are, but that needs to shift so that their shadow side doesn't overtake everything. So in terms of relationships, right? So there was the internal conflict, but interpersonally it caused conflict between me and my husband, and I've asked him permission for this. One day he's like, you know what? No, he didn't say. I went on to online banking to do what I'd been doing for a while. Whenever I thought I needed more money, I'd go into the account, his account, and I'd just take the money and pay for whatever I needed to do. One day, I went in, and I was logged off. No, I couldn't log in. And I called him. I said, did you change the password for the bank account? And he said, yes, I did. It's like, why would you do that? I need to go in there and get some money. It's like, well, I've got direct debits that have to come out of this. And every time you go in there, that just messes the whole thing. And it just caused this big fight. I was like, you know, you don't understand. That's so insensitive. How could you do? Right? It caused a big thing. Then we had a situation where we sold a car and I couldn't tell you what happened with that money. I started a business about 12 years ago, ended up with a huge tax bill. I mean, I've started another business now. That's different. But back then, and he had to pay. He always reminded me about how he had to pay for this big tax bill, right? So those are some of the challenges that we have had because of that money type. So I want to wrap it up with this. I want to read Luke chapter 15. Now, when I say wrap it up, I mean about 5 more minutes. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 24. But please do come up. It says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had 2 sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Let's have a party. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. We know this as the story of the prodigal son. But this time I wanted to highlight that here we have a son who was into wild living, indulgence, wastage, nothing left. There was regret and there was remorse, very much like the Jacob type and the overindulgence. He's feeling bad about how he had used resources. He's probably feeling guilty. But the father here, is the true hero. So I want to talk about partnering with God. I'll get you to just stand up. Partnering with God, this is the message that just like this prodigal son, let's come to our senses, whether that's you or somebody you know, and go back to our Father in whose image we were made. We have to embrace that He made you. You have to embrace that He made you in a certain way. And you have to be more aware of your tendencies to overindulge, not just yourself, but others. You have to acknowledge and take responsibility for your misuse of resources. That's what I had to do. I had to stop and think. For many, many years, I was like, it's because he's an accountant. That's why he's being so mean. You know, it's because he's just like, he doesn't understand me. That's why, who does that? Who locks their wife off the account? Right?
I just thought, what's wrong with him? But we have to submit to God's ways. We have to surrender. And we have to commit to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This morning, I'd like us to pray. Don't let this be just a message, a funny message that you hear, that you'll remember and forget the next week. John 8:36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." It says that, you know, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And then it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. There's knowing the Son, there's knowing the truth, and there's being set free. So this morning, I just want to pray. Let's just pray. My prayer is for freedom. Every message that we preach here is to set people free, is to raise an awareness. So, Father, I just pray this morning for your word that's been spoken this morning. I pray for the hearts of your children. I thank you that you have compassion for every single one of us, that you want us to hand over everything. Because you said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, Father, I pray this morning for anyone who's heavy laden because of a misuse of resources, because of mishandling, or anyone who has been in conflict with the Jacob type. I pray, Father, that we would see people the way you made them, that they are like that because they see beauty in everything. So I pray that you would teach us to see people the way you see them and find a way that things can work together. I pray for every family that's represented here that's had fights, that's had pain, that's had family breakup because of money. I sense this morning strongly. If your family has had conflict because of money, this prayer is for you. Father, I pray that you would release the bondage that has come because of money in families, that you would set people free. I thank you for your children. I thank you for the love that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please do take the test. 7moneytypes.com. That's where the quiz is. Be good to know what your type is. Thank you.